Coffee House in Manhattan at 7:30 p.m.
And that's your concert billboard for this week. And keep listening to WUSB to find out where your favorite bands are playing in the area and who's coming to your favorite night spot. Or look online at WUSB.fm for the online version of Concert Billboard at WUSB Stony Brook.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB, Stony Brook. The time is just about 6:01, and that means, once again, it's time for another exciting edition, a live edition of Off the Wall. We'll be right back. And the very good guitar by the program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you, back live in the studio here at Stony Brook, joined by Kyle.
Hi, everybody.
Well, we made it. We were gallivanting all throughout Eastern Europe. Not all throughout, but through some pretty pretty cool places, really.
Yeah.
You want to tell the folks any place that we actually went to?
Well, we left the CCC camp in Finnofurt, Germany.
The German hacker camp that we were at the beginning of the month.
Spent a night in Berlin and then carried on into Warsaw.
Took the Warsaw Express all the way from Berlin to Warsaw and spent a few days there.
Which was interesting. Good city. And
it was a good city.
Worth exploring. Probably worth going back and checking out some more.
Did a radio show from there. That was, did Off the Hook, that is, from there.
Yes.
They weren't content, though, to stay in Poland. We decided to continue. And do you guys know what the next country is over from Poland? Anybody? Hands? No? No? Okay. Nobody in the audience knows.
No. We actually had made plans to go to the country of Belarus.
Belarus.
White Russia.
White Russia is what it's legally known as. And it used to be a part of the Soviet Union.
Yes.
Actually, we kind of kid that it still is part of the Soviet Union because they never really let go of the values of communism and the USSR and all that, even after the USSR itself did. So it's kind of like going back in time. Wouldn't you say that?
I would agree.
Yeah.
A lot of that heritage is just clung to there, and of course their architecture, their streets, their cities. We were mainly in the urban center there, Minsk, and they've hung on to it and continue this a bit of nationalism, a little bit of pride in their heritage and pride for that Soviet history.
Yeah,
they really do embody it,
and also kind of a pride and an embracing of the most inefficient, bureaucratic, and ridiculous way of doing things. And I mean that with all due respect. Basically, what we're talking about are just instances of trying to buy something and just having way too many people involved in the transaction. For instance, when I was trying to get aspirin, we went to the wrong store. We went to a cosmetic store because in this country, you go to a drug store, which is mostly a shampoo store, to get medicine. In their country, and I give them credit for this, you would go to an actual pharmacy that just sells drugs and nothing else. Okay, that makes sense. But we first walked into a store that sold shampoo and various beautician-type things.
They haven't integrated the two yet.
No, and that's fine. That's fine. But when we walked in, there were no customers at all, but probably about 10 employees, each one of which was staring at us like they'd never seen a customer before. And it was just really creepy. It was straight out of Twilight Zone. You just walk down a corridor, and there's a saleswoman just staring straight at you, expecting you to ask her a question, and she's going to give you exactly what it is that you're asking for. Of course, none of them could help us with what we were looking for. It's just the hotel we stayed at had so many people in the hallway or in the lobby downstairs that were just there doing nothing. There were these duplicate bars that basically were the same thing over and over and over again, kind of like North Korea, where you go into a hotel and you just see all these places that there are no customers at, but plenty of employees. And also just like the anger, people just get really angry at you because you don't know the rules. You don't know how to do things. You buy something in the wrong way. You don't get a little piece of paper. You don't have it ripped in exactly the right way. And you get screamed at. Started on the train when we arrived in the country. We didn't have our form filled out precisely in the correct manner at the precise time. So we got yelled at right then. But it's part of the experience.
I like to think that the people there, they realize these systems, but there's no sense that they want to change it or that they would be so frustrated as to come up with something else or God forbid revolt against it. They're just sort of resigned that this is the way it's done, and then militant about you accepting it because they accepted it long ago to the point of sarcasm. It's sarcasm, but they're not quite to the point of laughing or having any sort of sense of humor,
you know,
but they're almost close.
That sounds exactly like us, actually. The way you describe that sounds like the American way of doing things, where we just accept it. We don't think there's anything else. We expect other people to also accept it, And yeah, it's you can change things, folks. You can definitely change your systems and improve and things like that.
All that said, there are changes, though.
Yeah.
You've been before, and you noticed that there were different Western things, like a McDonald's, for crying out loud.
Two McDonald's.
Yeah.
More of a youth culture, but not really the kind of youth culture that I see changing things so much. It's more of the youth culture of fast cars and, you know, picking up girls and things like that. They're kind of in the 1950s, I guess, on that level.
Misogynists?
Yeah, sort of like that. Don't really see much in the way of revolt. Not from our stay. We were only there for 3 days. So, you know, it's certainly possible if the youth is angered enough to actually be motivated to do something. Yeah, that's you're not going to control that crowd. They're not just going to go along blindly, and that's a good thing.
We did get a sense of that, because the couple of youths that we did sort of interact with and bump mm-hmm. into and got a little bit of a sense of what they're about. They're aware. There's a realization, and we were able to get online with no trouble. So you've got to think that they're out. They're looking into things. They're on the internet. Mm-hmm. They're using new technology, and they still exist in this this nation that's sort of not as progressive as what we think the rest of the world might be. So
right.
I would imagine that these people running the country, they have to listen to that youth, because you know, they're gonna push the envelope, and eventually it's either, you know, they get the support of everyone or not, or at least that's what I kept thinking.
I think it's possible that there will be a transition, a peaceful transition to a different kind of government. I didn't think that before. I thought it was gonna have to end in violence. But I think I think the transition, there's just no way it can continue the way it's continuing now. Everybody can see that. So maybe it'll sort of move like China is moving, where you give the people all the goods and the consumer items that they want, and they'll be placated. Unfortunately, not much is accomplished that way, but it will be different, I think. So anyway, that was Belarus. A lot of big drab concrete buildings and dim lit insides of everything from movie theaters to restaurants to hotels.
Immaculate examples of stuff that was crafted as a part of some of the architecture that just didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what, you know, no matter what's going on. I mean, it just was repurposed, and they kept the same, you know, burnt orange or red glass work and stained glass. It's just very bizarre. Stained
yeah.
glass, weird carvings in the side of buildings, and it was very interesting, but we were excited to be moving on. Actually, we headed over to the city of Kiev, and actually took about a night.
That's in the Ukraine, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah,
the country
for those
of Ukraine.
Folks in the audience that don't know that, and I see there's a lot of people in the audience that did not look up in geography like we asked them to before the show, and they look very perplexed and puzzled. Yeah, Ukraine. It's another country. Also used to be part of the Soviet Union, but they're not anymore, and they actually have changed quite a bit.
Absolutely. And Kiev was just fascinating. We actually ended up going there several days before the 20th anniversary of Ukraine's independence, so there was a big preparation for a celebration.
I don't know how we did that, but somehow, yeah, we wound up there on the 20th anniversary of their independence. It wasn't planned. We just happened to stumble into the city, and they were preparing, and we were there for the actual celebration. Boy, that was cool. That was cool seeing all the happiness there.
Yes, it was really, really pleasant, and you saw families, people excited. But also, just down the street,
mm-hmm.
Yulia Tymoshenko's trial was going on.
Yeah, it was.
And we got to see this entire side of the
street
with two opposing sides.
They're all perplexed. Yulia Tymoshenko, okay. She is the former prime minister of Ukraine. And she's currently in prison because she apparently she's accused of overstepping her reach as prime minister. I don't know if she gave out free parking spaces or
gas deals.
Something like that. And so now there's a whole big to-do about that. There are actually two different sides, or at least two different sides to this. And there's demonstrations on a continuous basis in Kiev. So that's who she is. I'm sorry, continue.
Oh, no, it was very interesting. They were blaring propaganda back and forth at each other. But we investigated. We walked across the street and actually looked at these two sides. And one was very obviously these kind of like state guys that were like not letting anyone in and that kind of thing. The other one was like a tent city where you had pamphlets and flyers, people trying to talk about letting Yulia free and all of the issues they were concerned
about.
The
thing is, we didn't know that when we walked across the street. We basically emerged from the metro and we heard this this PA system, and we assumed there was a demonstration going on the eve of Independence Day. And then we heard kind of conflicting sounds, and we thought, okay, yeah, this is typical of demonstrations where they just don't have the PA system quite synced right. But no, it was actually two demonstrations, one right next to the other, each with their own PA system, kind of talking over each other. And when we looked across the street, it looked like there was one on one side, one next to them on the other side. So we walked across the street, and we mingled for a bit in the Yulia Tymoshenko, free her from prison.
Her tent city.
Yeah, her tent city. And basically what they have there, they have all these tents. And what I understand, it started as a demonstration and the police were going to clear it. But then it turned into, and this was rather ingenious, the members of parliament decided to occupy each tent and say, this is our office. We're going to be talking to our constituents here in these tents. And they couldn't just clear them out then. It wasn't just the public that the police could move in on. Okay, so we saw that. We were prepared to move on to the other side of the demonstration, which was Viktor Yanukovych, current prime minister. And I guess his side of the whole thing. It's really interesting because these two used to be allies. They were part of the Orange Revolution a number of years ago, and now the way things work, they're not allies anymore. They're enemies, and he's the current prime minister, and seen by Yulia Tymoshenko's people as a dictator in training. And his people see her as somebody who overreached her authority. So we walked over there, wanted to see their side, wanted to see how they were presenting their case. And as soon as we got over there, we were just aware of the difference in mood. Walking around inside the tent city, a bunch of senior citizens, young people handing out leaflets, and it was just really kind of cool, a lot of speeches being given. We walked over there, and I just noticed all these people in suits being ushered in and out, looking like they were really under pressure. And when we tried to take pictures inside, we couldn't even get inside. They wouldn't let people inside. We tried to take pictures. We were suddenly surrounded by all these plainclothes security people. And the mood was just, it was 180 degrees different. They just were very suspicious of everybody, hostile, intimidating. So, based on that, I'd have to say those are the bad guys. I'm sorry, but you present yourself that way, you're the bad guys. And people that are open and don't tell you to stop taking pictures, don't make you feel afraid, they're the people I want to listen to. They're the people I want to hang out with. They're the people I trust.
Absolutely. And we did get a lot of great pictures, and those are the people you're going to get press because they're out there, they're putting themselves out there, and they're unafraid. And it was really, really an awesome experience. We also noted some of the infrastructure that they're building for the Euro 2012. In Kiev there, they have a new stadium, and they're also working on a new airport terminal.
Euro 2012, by the way, is the every 4 years, in alternate 4 years to the World Cup, they have a European Football Championship just for European teams or nations. And in 2012, it's going to be held in both Poland and Ukraine. And it's interesting because both Poland and Ukraine, as a result of hosting it, they qualify automatically. And I believe Belarus is on the verge of qualifying as well. So the three countries that we went to are all going to be in the competition. So that'll be kind of interesting.
Yeah, it will be quite an interesting competition to see. And I think you're absolutely right. I'm fairly positive that Belarus is in the running, and they're doing quite well, actually.
All right. So then after all that, winding up in Ukraine for the 20th anniversary, we had a one-night stopover in Prague, which we've been to before, and we hung out there. It was kind of a relief to go back to Prague because it's very stressful, I think, being in places like Belarus and Ukraine. The pace of living is different. I'm not sure how to describe it, yeah. But it's just there's more pressure on people to get things right.
And the different body language, the different interactions, things that you really, really, really absolutely take for granted here in the United States and in big cities, and Western societies in general, that is totally different in those places. And I think it's really good to stretch your mind and stretch your ability to handle a lot of that stuff, but it really does put you under a lot of stress. You know, it's the little what I mean by that is simple things like, opening a door, holding a door for somebody, checking out, mm-hmm. all the kinds of things. Just walking at all. Walking right. by someone, having someone tail you very closely,
very closely
and cut you off
yeah.
as you reach for a door, or lines at a ticket counter. People standing at the line while you're handing over credit cards and stuff like that.
Oh,
they're
my
just
God.
Waiting and being obnoxious. And that doesn't fly in the States.
Yeah.
So
imagine that. You're online at a train station in a foreign country, for one thing. That's stressful enough. You have to buy a ticket. And then someone just sidles up next to you as looking over your shoulder, complete stranger.
As you present your passport. Or...
Exactly, exactly. And also, another thing, they basically sidle up in front of you sometimes when you're waiting online. Someone just walks right in front of you casually, and they're in front of you just like that. So little things like that kind of get on your nerves. So we went back to Prague. It was sort of like going back to the West and a place we were familiar with. Hung out there for a night and then flew back to JFK the day before the hurricane. Well, the day before the hurricane preparation began. Had we left one day later, we'd still be there now. We would.
Yeah.
Because they
would.
Canceled all the flights after that. So we were very lucky. And, I guess we talk about the hurricane now, because that was something that that we just experienced. We're still experiencing it. We have no power. We're not going to have power for a while. You know that. And we've been living a different life.
Yeah, it's been kind of like being on the road. We've been working from remote places that have internet or coffee or power or all three.
Or water or soap.
A bathroom.
Yeah, things like that. You know, things you take for granted. And I got to say, it's cool because we go to sleep at night. We wake up at the crack of dawn. And it's kind of like we're in tune with nature now. At night, you just hear nothing. You hear, except for the guy next door has a generator.
Right.
but other than that, you hear crickets, or you hear just the sound of something in the distance. It's dark, and it's quiet, and it's just very different from what we're used to. And so far, we're in day three now of no power. It's I like it. I do. I'm not sure how I'm going to like it in another week if it keeps up.
Yeah, we've kept busy and thought of just ways to get out and do things. And I think right after the storm, getting out and seeing what was going on and going to places where people were trying to get resources like connectivity or mm-hmm. power so they could keep their computer on or keep their phone charged so they could keep in touch with people about their situation.
Yes.
All of that was really worthwhile for us to go and explore and see immediately after the storm sort of cleared. Even though it was still blustery, we got to get a sneak peek into what was going on with the weather, and we ventured down to the coast, and other people were doing the same
mm-hmm,
thing. So
mm-hmm.
we really, and then once we returned, we really knew for ourselves what the damage and what was going on out on the island and where the storm was hitting. So
now I know there are a lot of people listening to us right now that have battery operated radios that don't have any power and aren't likely to have power for at least a couple more days, and we'd like to hear your experiences. Give us a call. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. We're going to be taking those phone calls in just a few minutes. But we want to share our experiences, too, what we've been going through over the past few days, as well as what we've been going through over the past few weeks, because we've been going through a lot. The last 3 weeks on this show, we've had pre-recorded programs from the winter expeditions that we went to Denmark and Germany and places like that, and there's still more coming from that series. But this particular time that we had during the hurricane, it's your first hurricane, I believe, right? You've never experienced a hurricane before.
Right.
Coming from Seattle, you don't have those.
Yeah, we don't. We have tsunamis, volcanoes, and earthquakes.
Yeah, and that's another thing. We had an earthquake while we were gone. I'm kind of upset that I missed that. I was talking to somebody online right when the earthquake was happening, and he was telling me all the buildings are shaking in Manhattan, and I couldn't figure out what was going on there. It was unusual. It was different. So no, we can't share that experience, unfortunately, because we were overseas, but we can experience the hurricane together. I guess, you know, we knew power was going to be lost at some point. We were listening to the wind, watching the damage start. But then afterwards, after it died down a little bit, it was still very windy, but the hurricane had actually moved away, and it was just kind of the tail end of it. That's when we decided, okay, let's drive around a little bit. Let's see what's going on out there. Cautiously, we're not being reckless, but we are being curious. And we found that there were certain people that were doing the same thing. You mentioned going down to the coast, and by that we mean the South Shore. I think it was Bay Shore or maybe Patchogue, somewhere around there. We kept trying to find the ocean because we just wanted to see the waves, and everything was blockaded or flooded. But we did find this one street where you could actually walk to where the waves were. And we just saw all these people, car by car, would just park. And a family would get out, an individual person would get out. They all just had to walk to that point to see it. And it was really cool to watch that curiosity, that spirit of exploration just kind of manifesting itself. And it was windy. Boy, it was windy, and the waves were crashing, but we just had to see nature's fury.
I think that part of it was the hysteria. I mean, it was very well orchestrated as far as information getting out, but we had just gotten off a plane and returned, and all of a sudden we were in evacuation awareness mode. And I mean, I really admire, I applaud the telecommunications companies, the power companies, the governors, the emergency responders, firefighters, everybody who was so concerned and all of that. But when at a certain point you want to know for yourself, because you know, you got your radio going, your power might be out, and you're just listening to people tell you to stay inside and stay inside. Mm-hmm. Well, that, to a point, that's acceptable. That's helpful.
Right.
But it'll make you a little crazy, and that's why I think that curiosity was shared by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And in getting out, you were able to share with people that aren't necessarily people you talk to. But you meet that stranger in whatever venue, wherever you are,
right,
and you can share, oh, what are you experiencing? What have you seen? What do you
know? Or you just help out in some way. Like we passed some stores that just basically had power strips out saying, hey, come plug in your chargers, charge your phone, charge your computer. You're welcome to do this. People helping each other out in all kinds of various ways, as you said, trading stories and just experiencing it together. People need that. People need to be able to commune on occasions like this. They don't happen very often. And one thing that I think we really benefited from quite a bit throughout this entire experience was radio. We were driving around listening to the radio, USB predominantly, and boy, USB did a great job, not to pat our own backs too much, but just listening, hearing updates, hearing music at times that just kind of personified the whole storm feeling. But just getting that sense of community that, hey, our friends are here, we're going through this together, we're going to make it together. And not just USB, PKN as well. BAI had a wonderful call-in program where people just sharing stories and experiences. That's what local radio is all about. That's what people need a radio station for. So it's really kind of cool to have that. And that's what I'd like to share with people today. Let's go into delay. Hopefully that'll work properly. And we can start taking phone calls as they come in. Again, the phone number is 631-632 WUSB 631-632-9872. Let's play this ID and then we'll come right back.
This is Emmy Lou Harris and you are listening to WUSB FM Stony Brook 90.1 on your FM dial.
And we've come right back. At least I think we have. Again, the phone number is 631-632-WUSB 631-632-9872. Kyle, did you make it to delay land?
Hello, I'm here.
Is he here? Did he make it? Hang on. Once we lost somebody in delay. Yeah, I think he's. Yeah, he's here. Okay, good. He's. How's it feel? You all right?
Yeah, okay. I'm unscathed.
Okay, good. We're in delay land, and we're ready to take some phone calls. Again, if you're out there somewhere on Long Island, Connecticut, places that don't have power, we'd like to hear your stories. Or even if you do have power, if you've experienced a hurricane in one way or another, we'd sure like to hear your stories. Maybe you have questions. I do know that that there hasn't been a train out here in 3 days. We were watching them fix the tracks, or all kinds of trees over the tracks. It's amazing how when trees fall, they always fall on wires. Have you noticed that? They don't seem to just fall on the street. They fall and take down wires with them.
I've been impressed with the strength of a lot of those wires, though.
Mm-hmm.
There's some pretty heavy trees just hanging on, 10 wires stacked up on a pole. It's been pretty cool to see, and those crews are working pretty hard to fix things, so please share with us your experience.
We have some calls on the line. Let's take a couple of them. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yes.
Oh dear, you're not coming up on the phone thing. Hang on, keep talking.
Yeah, I'll keep talking.
There you are. Okay, you came up now. Where are you calling from?
I've always been off the wall. This is Kevin Kavarik.
Oh hey, how you doing? You're a name from the radio station itself.
Of course.
All right, and where are you right now, Kevin?
Shirley.
Shirley. Okay, Shirley actually is a real community out east.
Yes.
And how are you guys faring out there?
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. We dodged the bullet in this particular area.
You know, I'm sorry, Kevin. That's the one phrase I did not want to hear. I said this to Kyle before. I said, you know, I love hurricanes. I love natural disasters within reason. But I don't want to go through this thing and have people say, oh, we dodged the bullet. No, I want the real thing. I want it to hit us full on. And I don't know. I think we got hit. We got hit all right. It wasn't like Gloria. It wasn't like Bob. It wasn't like Hurricane Camille or whatever that one was way back.
Well, in my instance here in Shirley,
mm-hmm.
There were very little trees down. The power, for me, never went out. So it was
power
kind of
never
a real
went
blessing
out.
Here,
wow.
This particular area. It was amazing.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, of course, I do feel bad for everybody else that, you know, went through... you know, a lot of trouble with this particular hurricane.
I feel bad for the people that didn't lose power because, you know what, you guys aren't experiencing the magic of what a hurricane is all about and what just relying on different values, getting through the day and a totally different set of rules. You know, that's the thing you remember for the rest of your life.
You know, I did that in Gloria, though.
That's right. And that was, what, 25 years ago? So,
what, I'm due for another one? Is that what you're saying?
I think so. I think we should have these things. I would like to have them once every few years, actually, not every quarter century.
Yeah, I was, you know, I feel real sorry for the people on the South Shore because I have some friends, especially in Mastic Beach, who mm-hmm. ended up, you know, having to go in their lofts or on their roofs to... you know, get away from the water because the water was like, you know, 5 feet high.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is a big problem, flooding, waves, things like that. But of course, when you live near the ocean, that's something to always be mindful of.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely have to be mindful of it. But, you know, you never think that it's going to be, you know, a strong enough hurricane coming through. You think, you know, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. A lot of people think that.
Let me ask you this, Kevin. Do you think that that there was an overreaction to this, the preparation, the closing down of the mass transit?
You know, I started thinking that, but I honestly don't think it was overkill. You know, I think it was warranted because, you know, if it did happen,
mm-hmm.
then what? If we weren't prepared.
Yeah, yeah, and people, it's part of adjusting and making do with a change in the rules.
Well, whatever the case, we're happy you made it through and you're safe, and maybe next time you'll get to experience that slowing down, that century old lifestyle where you light candles and have conversations.
There's no rule that we can't have another hurricane this year, by the way.
No, absolutely not, and you know what, during Gloria... you know, I drove to the North Shore when I heard the storm was coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was at Belterre, and I could actually see the storm coming, you know. So I raced to West Sayville, which was my home base at the time, and I barely made it because before I actually went to my home base, I said, you know, let me go down by Browns River just to see how the bay is, how the bay looks, you know, and the reeds that are next to the bay that were like 6 feet high were blown completely flat, and I saw this surge
wow.
coming in.
Yes,
that was about like, you know, 4 feet already, and I was like, you know, let me get out of here, and on my way out of that area by Browns River, I mean, I just dodged a tree falling down, nearing hitting me, you know, and I was like, you know, it's time for me to get to safety real quick, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's like I was like a storm chaser in a way at that moment, you know, the thrill of the moment, but. You know, I'm older and wiser now. I don't do that kind of thing, but...
All right. Well, hopefully you can still experience the adventure and the thrill and the fun and the responsibility of seeing nature at its
at
its finest.
Absolutely. And, you know, Eric, keep up the good work with this show. I love this show. I listen to it all the time. So just keep forging ahead, brother.
All right. Good to know you're out there, Kevin.
All
good
right,
hearing
Eric.
From you. Let's take another phone call. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
I'd say greetings from Shirley, but the last guy stole my thunder.
Two calls from Shirley in a row. Wow, what are the odds of that?
Yeah. Welcome back, man.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Now, do you have power, too?
No, actually, I'm staying with the in-laws out in Copeg.
Okay. All right. So you're basically experiencing some hardship. Not because of that. But...
Yes, sir. No, I actually, through pretty much the whole storm, I sat in the car so that I could keep my, you know, my phone, mm-hmm. and computer, and iPod charged. So.
Yeah, that's what I've been driving around, charging my phone and going into various coffee shops and charging up. And it's people are getting by.
Well, I sat in the car. I was having branches fall right and left of me. I did watch a tree, like, kind of lean over it, uprooted. And I pretty much watched it kind of slowly lurch over. That was pretty cool.
You got to be careful in cars because a tree falling on a, you might not think about this, but a tree falling on a car, the tree wins. The car does not survive that very well, and certainly the person inside doesn't fare well either.
Well, if a tree falls on a person, and there's no one there to hear it.
Well, the person who gets it on their head is going to hear it, and it might be the last thing they hear.
Or they don't hear it because it got them good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's something to consider. Something
pretty
to
cool.
Definitely
that
consider.
Was the storm experience, sitting and watching, you know, watching branches fall right and left of me.
We saw a house in St. James, actually, that had a tree. It looked like it was the size of the house. It fell right on top of it, covered the entire thing, and it took up the roots, and that was like the whole front lawn. There was a sign on there saying, hey, we're okay, but the pot of gold is missing. I'm not quite sure what that meant exactly.
Keebler elves?
Is there a pot of gold at the bottom of a fallen tree? I know it's a rainbow reference, but I don't know about the fallen tree reference.
Maybe the spaghetti monster hit it there.
could be. Anything else you want to tell us?
Not really. I didn't get conked on the head, so I guess I'm all right.
Well, thanks for staying safe, and thanks for calling in.
I did listen to what I did spend the storm doing is listening to all those different, you know, broadcasts you did over, overseas. Those are pretty interesting.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for listening, and that's another wonderful tactic. Staying with some in-laws. Regardless of the situation, family comes through in those kind of situations, and I'm glad you like the shows.
One last thing. Mm-hmm. That's my wife is Polish, and I told her, I go, I always tell her about the show, and I told her, and her in-laws are sitting, or my in-laws, her parents are sitting there, and I'm trying to tell them, oh, they're over there, and they're going to be in Belarus, and I'm telling them all that. They just stared at me blankly like I was an idiot.
Well, I'm sure eventually it'll hit them, the impact of it, the significance of it. And we will have those shows from Poland, from Belarus, all kinds of other places sometime in the future. We still have to get through the rest of Denmark and Germany and whatever else we have on the queue.
Welcome back.
All right, thanks. Good to hear from our listeners. And take care out there in Shirley or Copeg or wherever it is you happen to be right now. Our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. Are you listening to us on battery power? Are you without power yourself? What are you doing to get by? Do you have advice maybe for our fellow listeners? This is the time that we have to come together and help each other out. Doesn't happen very often, but when it happens, it's good to know we have friends, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I turned your mic down.
Absolutely. I want to hear some of the stories. Any cool things people saw that people were doing to help each other out, getting through, sharing resources, all that kind of stuff's crucial and really beautiful to hear. So share with us. Share with us your experience.
631-632-9872. Let's listen to this person. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how are you?
How you doing? And where are you calling from?
Hopog, New York.
Hopog. Okay. How is Hopog faring?
Hopog is great in some parts, devastated in the one I am particularly located in. Probably about Sunday morning, 1 o'clock, this tremendous oak came down and brought down the power lines in my neighborhood, and electricity has been out ever since. But you know what? The one positive thing from this experience has been that all the neighbors I live amongst, I have known for 20, 30 years, I am finally beginning to get to know quite well, actually, and very pleasant experience, I must say, overall.
Yeah, you know, I remember from Gloria when all the trees came down, we sort of formed a posse of going from door to door, basically chainsawing people out of their homes because all the trees were blocking driveways and things like that. And we just we got to be really good friends. Of course, it didn't last beyond that very, very long, but it was a cool, it was a good day, you know, where we were going around helping each other out, and that's it's good to look out for each other, and we're all feeling that here on Long Island, I think.
It really is. It's a very good sense of community and well-being and reassurance that really in the worst of times, people do come around for one another, you know. And that's a positive thing to experience. I think very good. And also, it would be nice. I absolutely agree with you if we could have this type of situation where local just puts the switch down every 2 or 3 years, let's say, for a few days towards the end of the summer where it's not scorching hot. I think it would be a positive thing for communities all around.
And it's really good that the weather has been nice afterwards. It hasn't been hot and humid. It's been very crisp and clear and just a good time to walk around, maybe cycle a bit and just, I don't know, just commune with nature a little bit.
And, yeah. And you know what's interesting? When every time the power goes out like this, although this is a time when people should be most chaotic and hysterical and, and all of that, it's really unusual. It seems that when all these electrical devices and power lines around us go out, there's this very strange sense of calm, you know, that everybody seems to experience communitively. It's very strange, but great. Yeah, it's been a good experience for me, although I'm going on almost 3 days with no power.
Well, you know, we'll check in another 3 days, see how you're doing then. But that's one thing I've noticed, and yeah, agreeing with what you're saying here, when the TV gets turned off, it just... things sort of calm down when the computers are off and the phones aren't the portable phones aren't ringing quite as much, but you have the radio going in the background playing music or talk or things like that. It just has this calming effect, and I think that's the magic.
Yeah, it really is. It's a good experience for me, actually.
All right, listen, thanks for sharing with us. I hope things work out there in Hop Hog. You didn't have too much damage, and you're basically you have a food supply and ways of taking care of yourself, I assume.
Yeah, we're all right. We're making it by just fine with the help of neighbors.
Great. All right.
Things are okay. Thank you so much for your work. I appreciate it, fellas.
All right. Take care. 631-632-9872. We're taking calls from people that have been affected by the hurricane. Yeah, it's it doesn't happen very often. It's something that I guess we're lucky to be around for. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that you haven't seen before.
Yeah, I've never been through hurricane. I was actually really, really frightened by it to some degree. I blame a little bit of the hysteria leading up to it, but I think people just want to be prepared.
There was some hysteria. We can talk about that in a couple of minutes. Maybe if the media overdid it a little bit. But let's listen to another caller. Oh dear, the caller has moved up here. Let's go over there. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, my name's Scott.
Scott, where are you calling from?
Calling from Centereach.
Centereach, how did you guys make out down there?
Well, actually, I have a wild story for you. We were not home for the storm. We went up to Bluestock, up in Hunter Mountain.
Okay, all right. Well, the hurricanes kind of went up there too, didn't it?
Oh my God!
All right, what happened?
Well, we rented a house just outside of Hunter, which is where it took place.
Okay.
And the house was basically the back when you went out onto the deck and you looked down, you could see about 35 feet down, there was actually Schoharie Creek ran down there. And Friday, the music was great. Everything was fantastic. It went from 5 to 12. Saturday, they cut the festival short, and they tried to just jam everything in one day. So we got back late Saturday night, about 12 o'clock, went to sleep, and at 8 o'clock, I woke up and went to turn on the lights. There was no power in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I looked out the patio doors at the deck, and it was just this incredible raging torrent of brown water carrying trees, and it was right up to the deck.
Wow.
I woke up my buddy and I woke up my girlfriend and said, we have to get out immediately.
So what did you do at that point?
At that point, we decided to leave. We were gonna stay till about 3 p.m. and then try to head back. But at that point, we had nowhere to stay.
Uh-huh.
So as we tried to leave Hunter on 23A, we got to Tannersville and the bridge was... it was a house that was washed away, blocking the bridge, and the river was actually going over the bridge.
Oh, wow. That's,
yeah.
That's pretty dramatic.
It was absolutely I was petrified, to be quite honest with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's the kind of instance where, you know, the wrong decision can cost you your life. People, there's a woman who was swept away in New Jersey just for driving in her car at the wrong time and winding up in way too much water being swept away. It does happen. You have to be really, really careful.
Right.
So what happened? Obviously, you made it.
Well, we turned around and stopped at a deli that was still open on high ground. And uh-huh. Believe it or not, there were EMTs, emergency service people, all stopping in there. And we were asking, how can we get out of town? And they said, well, you can't go up that. The bridge is totally gone. You can't go that way. You can't go that way. And now we can't get back even to Hunter. Now we're kind of stuck in this little area. And the owner, who actually, I couldn't believe how nice people were during all of this. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. Totally amazed me.
Yeah, you see that all the time. You definitely do in situations like this.
Oh, it was amazing. We made a run for it and had to go, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's called Mountain Road, and it passes over Catskills Creek and the falls comes down.
Okay.
About halfway through, I was like, this is a terrible idea. I mean, it was absolutely petrifying. The falls was just this tremendous, I mean, it was actually just this huge brown, it was like you were going under Niagara Falls. It was like, mm-hmm. this was not a good move, but we made it through and got down to a town called Palinville. Which is where you turn to go to Saugerties to get onto the thruway.
Okay.
And both of the bridges, 23A and 32A, were the rivers were flowing over the bridges.
Oh, boy. That's not a good sign.
We stopped at another gas station, this time for about 3 hours, and waited. And the 132A bridge, the river had receded enough to go over it. There were the fire department was there, and they said, well, we're not sure if it's structurally sound or not.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like I was taking a lot of risks, but I actually had this terrible feeling that staying there would have been even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Wow. So I take it everybody made it out safely and you're back home now?
Yeah, we made it home. It took, from that point, it took almost 7 hours.
Wow. And what time was this? This was on Sunday?
This was on Sunday. This started all at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
We finally got home at 6:30.
Okay, wow. So that was right in the thick of things, because landfall was 8 o'clock in the morning on Sunday.
Right. Right. But to stay there, I think, would have been, from what I understand, they're just devastated up there.
Mm-hmm. Now, back home where you are now in Center Reach, how are things? So you have power?
We have power. It's just bizarre because it's almost like, there's minor damage here, but mm-hmm. we have power here. If you go down to Holbrook, there's no power. It's spotty. So
yeah, it's incredible. You're driving around and traffic lights are out, but you know people are surviving. People are getting. There's a few idiots on the road, obviously, but you have these major intersections and people are working it out between themselves. And I think we're mature. We can deal with adverse situations. And I wish we were just tested more often, where we actually had the chance to be responsible people and not simply guided through every possible situation.
Right. And what surprises me, too, is that you can actually, people that you would, normally you would just pass by and wouldn't say a word to, now suddenly you're,
mm-hmm.
conversation with total strangers, and it's really kind of cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Hey, listen, I'm glad you're safe. Welcome home. And try not to take any trips without checking the weather forecast next time.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Take care.
Be good. Bye-bye.
Wow, that was something. That beats anything we did, right?
That was a really cool story. and I think people, they do take risks they're not really used to taking in situations like that. And you're got to kind of go with your gut. Again, it's like, yeah, you can stay inside, but you kind of have to know what's going on and see for yourself to some degree. So you do take some risks here and there. That's probably something that
teaches you something about yourself. And as long as you're safe, as long as you got situational awareness, I think it's manageable.
You see the people on TV telling you to stay inside, don't take any risks, and then they go and they walk down the street or they walk into the water and they take all the risks, and it looks like a real enjoyable time for them, or at least just something really interesting. So I'm not sure what kind of effect that has. And also, we were talking about how the media might be overblowing this a little bit. And of course, they do. For any story, they're going to overblow it and make it as fantastic as possible, so people will tune in and get all hysterical and things like that. But that said, there are things that you do need to know about. There are certainly risks that you should be made aware of. I don't know. Do you think there was too much attention to it? I know almost every major TV station was covering it nonstop.
I think it's in part due to the fact that the storm was very, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
But it was when the TVs went off. It was all the pre-storm preparation that I think was scary.
Mm-hmm.
And watching what different people do. Some people board up their houses. Some people don't think that's necessary. Some people are making sandbags. Other people are stocking up on water. So you kind of see what's going on, and you don't know if you're – it's tough to gauge. And it was right. So very, very slow before it came up and even during the storm that it was tough for people to tell. But it was when the TV – when the noise, all that media went off with the power going out.
Right.
And all you had was this balance, this medium, the radio, where it's soothing, it's calm. And if there is an emergency, you know, they'll come on, the weather service or the emergency broadcast system. I was waiting for that because I knew at any radio station that's going to come through, I think.
They don't normally do that for hurricanes as much unless it's a real imminent dire threat of some sort. They just basically broadcast news. But EAS, I don't think, kicks in unless there's a tornado or something coming.
Exactly. So knowing the soothing nature, the great music, the good coverage, people that were on air at the time, I commend them because that calmed me down, because I realized, look, if something really goes crazy, they're going to find out somehow and they'll be able to tell people. And that was relaxing.
I, you know, as a media buff, somebody who likes to watch the media and analyze the media, this is where, you know, live news events, crises, things like that, I like to study them, see how they operate. And I learn, you know, I learn a bit about who takes things seriously, who's being a bit, I guess, hysterical. And of course, all the major network affiliates, local ones, CBS, NBC, Fox, ABC, they're all covering this nonstop, preempting all programming, daytime, nighttime. And it's just it's interesting to watch. I'm not quite sure why we have Channel 5 here, which is Fox, and we have Channel 9, which is what's that network called? My network. Yeah, something. It used to be UPN. Now it's now something else. But they're both owned by Fox here, the local stations, and they had the same exact broadcast going on Channel 5 and Channel 9. Couldn't figure out the point of that because they reached the same exact area, so there's no reason to duplicate the programming. You had News 12, which is the cable channel here, run by Cablevision, owned by Newsday. They were doing a pretty good job, I think. They were talking to people locally, and people like to share stories and see what's going on in different communities. I was interested in that. Oddly enough, we have a local TV channel, Channel 55 in Riverhead. Absolutely no coverage whatsoever, just infomercials. You get a sense as to who is actually dedicated to the community and who does not care at all. Spanish stations weren't covering it at all. Channel 41, Channel 47, no coverage until it was news time, and then finally they broke in. So I'm not sure what that's all about. And of course, PBS couldn't care less. but I could see that because other stations were covering it just fine. And of course, then they have the nationwide cable news networks, and their job is just to be hysterical nationwide.
And the antidote to that is just realize there's so many places to get information. You got to listen to the old cats, the guys and gals that have lived through many storms, you know, mm-hmm. What are they saying down at the pub or wherever? You know, check in with some of the places, you know, the haunts, the local haunts, because, you know, the LIPO guys, the EMTs, they're going to be going in there, the police, they're going to know. You got to rub shoulders with the community, and that's the real information you want.
It would be nice, yes, if some stations, some media outlets had a different perspective. You know, the young person's perspective, the old timer's perspective, the fireman's perspective, and they just focused on that more or less, or maybe even we're overblowing this perspective. Instead, it all seemed kind of the same perspective. And what's the point? What's the point of having seven different channels doing the exact same thing? It could have been more interesting. It could have been done in a different way. But for the most part, I think the news got out. And of course, I'm not talking about radio. Radio, of course, was very different. What we did here at this radio station, I think, was really well done, as were other non-commercial stations in the area. And it was just very comforting to hear those voices, hear the music, hear the familiar sounds, and know that there are people out there, real people, listening and talking. You could call them. You can converse and get information. And that's the importance of local media. We're just about out of time. In fact, I'm going to pop out of delay right now. And here we are live again. But we're about to sign off for this particular week. I do want to say, sad note, very sad note. There is a tree on East 9th Street in New York that was lost. Big weeping willow tree. I think it's right by Avenue C. Those of you familiar with the East Village, you know the tree I'm talking about. And weeping willow trees, they always go during these storms, you know. And tried to tell it to be careful, but you know how they are. So, yeah, that's one less weeping willow tree and a whole lot of cleaning up to do. Please write to us, otw@2600.com, with any questions, experiences, things like that. Now, we certainly have a lot more to talk about as far as our voyages and things like that. This sort of superseded it.
Yes.
It was definitely, and we were so lucky to get back when we did. Had we been one day later, like I said, we'd still be there now and we wouldn't be here.
Absolutely, but we've got more stories to come. I mean, the X-ray story, I got more film stories, all kinds of different funny things. So.
Yeah, funny things. So that's coming up, and tune in future weeks. We'll have that in just a couple of weeks. But keep listening to WUSB and to alternative media in general, and you'll hear all kinds of fascinating stories. And hang in there with no power and with some hardship and no trains and things like that. It's life can be challenging, can be different, can be very, very interesting. Share the experience. Tell your kids. This is the kind of thing that that shapes who you are.
Absolutely. And one last thanks to all the strong trees that didn't fall.
Yes. Thanks for not falling on us. All right. We will see you next week. OTW2600.com. It's Emmanuel and Kyle. Have yourselves a good night.
Buonasera, signorina. Buonasera. It is time to say goodnight to Napoli. Though it's hard for us to whisper, buonasera, with that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea. In the morning, signorina, we'll go walking where the mountains help the sun come into sight. And by the little jewelry shop, we'll stop and linger while I buy a wedding ring for your finger. In the meantime, let me tell you that I love you. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, signorina, kiss me goodnight. But the red do that to the pot, bona bani boat, but do the bottle boat. Buonasera, signorina, buonasera. It is time to say goodnight to Napoli. Though it's hard for us to whisper, buonasera, with that old moon above the Mediterranean Sea. In the morning, signorina, we'll go walking where the mountains of the sun come into sight. And by the little jewelry shop, we'll stop and linger while I buy a wedding ring for your finger. And in the meantime, let me tell you. And linger while I buy a wedding ring for your finger.
In the meantime, let me tell you that I love you.
Buonasera, senorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, senorina, kiss me goodnight. Buonasera, senorina, kiss me goodnight.